The longest government shutdown in history continues. An NPR Ipsos poll on Friday found that 3/4 of Americans think it's, quote, embarrassing. But over the last couple weeks, there have been announcements about programs that will run despite the shutdown. Tim Westmoreland, professor of law at Georgetown University, explains what's funded and what isn't when the government's on freeze.
This is governed by a statute that was passed not long after the Civil War. It says that the Congress decides how much money each program will have, and then it says the president of the executive branch don't get to do anything that the Congress hasn't given them money for. There are a couple of exceptions to this. One is if people are federal workers are doing something that is to protect life or property from imminent danger. And that seems to be the one that the Trump administration is using to allow some people to come back to work. Now, I should emphasize that they don't get paid during this time. They are sort of commanded to come back to work to fulfill their basic responsibilities.
Now, would those include park rangers and employees? I know that we've been seeing pretty startling images of Joshua Tree, for example. The parks are really suffering. These trees are being chopped down. There's garbage everywhere. Like, does that include, when you say property, I'm wondering if that's part of that.
Those decisions of what is imminent danger to life or property have been made over the past decades by very close guidelines and regulations. The regulations are supposed to be about protecting from imminent danger. So if the parks are on fire, I'm sure that those people would be allowed and in fact commanded to come back to work. If it's a question of picking up trash that's just unsightly, in the past at least, that has not been decided to be something that it fits in the exception. Now, I have to say the Trump administration seems to be making these decisions as it goes, ad hoc. And a lot of people think that they're ignoring past precedent and the guidance that's been around for decades for both administrations.
What about situations where, for example, food inspections from the FDA aren't happening? What about those situations? Aren't those imminent threat if we don't? We just had a romaine lettuce outbreak a couple of months ago, or warning, should I say, a couple months ago. How could, you know, why is that not considered critical now?
It is debated what counts as a critical exception. In some instances, for instance, air traffic controllers, it's obvious that there's going to be an imminent danger to health. In the case of food inspectors, I think if there were an outbreak, people would say immediately, yes, those people are now immediately needed. But in the case of looking for prevention of a food outbreak, I think they'd say maybe it's not imminent. In the past, not all food inspectors have been allowed to go back to work until the Congress and the president have made a decision.
If the president's actions go against the legal precedent, can he get into any legal trouble because of these decisions?
Simply because something is illegal doesn't mean that it can always be enforced. In the Anti-Deficiency Act, there are criminal penalties and civil fines attached to violations that are knowing and willing. But the decision of who is prosecuted is made by the Department of Justice. And I assume in this instance that the White House and the Office of Management and Budget are telling the Department of Justice what they're going to open and what they're going to close. And so it's not clear to me that it's possible to enforce against the president in this instance.
Tim Westmoreland is a professor of law at Georgetown University. Thanks again.
Thank you.